I want you to turn to the people next to you and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Because I know we got a bunch of adults here today. They're not as good at listening as our sixth graders. I'm just making my sermon super simple for you. It's that simple. The message is, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. When you find yourself in the belly of the beast, when you've been thrown overboard, and God appoints a great fish to swallow you up, when you are in the place of death, God will provide life. It's going to be all right. I want to talk to you today about what happens when you find yourself in the belly of the beast and how you can experience the mercy of God even at the worst points of your life, and how regardless of what you face today, tomorrow, or the next day, there's no reason to be afraid ultimately, and everything's going to be all right. Well, good morning. My name is Andrew Forrest. I'm the pastor for this congregation. We're working through a study on the book of Jonah, which is not a children's story. Now, we're going to look at the most famous part of Jonah today, the story of Jonah and the big old fish. But this is not a children's story. Jonah is a literary masterpiece, a vicious satire, and I believe a particular message of the Lord to us even today in the 21st century. The fact that it was written so many centuries ago doesn't matter. It is as relevant today as the day it was first read by the ancient people of God. My name is Andrew Forrest. I'm the pastor for this congregation. We want to make you feel welcome here in our church today. In fact, whatever your week has been like or your life's been like, whatever you look like, whether you believe what we believe, or even if you vehemently disagree, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, you're welcome in this place this morning. So let's have a word of prayer. God, we pray that you take my words and speak through them, our thoughts and think through them. And then, God, we pray that you take our hearts and fill us with a bold courage to share with your world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's going to be all right. Jonah chapter 2 is a message to the people of God that says it's going to be all right. Here's how it begins. Jonah chapter 1, verse 15. Our story picks up. Jonah has been sent by God to preach to the Ninevites. He doesn't want to do it. He goes in the opposite direction all the way across the Mediterranean Sea. God sends a big storm. The ship is threatening to founder. And the sailors realize that if they throw Jonah overboard, they will be saved. And so, 1, 2, 3, Jonah goes overboard. Jonah chapter 1, 15. They picked Jonah up and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Now, without knowing any more of the story, in the middle of a storm in the center of the Mediterranean Sea, what would you expect to happen to Jonah? Yeah, he's going to die. That's what happens when the sailors get thrown overboard. They die. It's going to be all right, I said, as a message of Jonah chapter 2. Here is the first lesson. Often our expectations are wrong. If you're anything like me and the people who live in my household, we are absolute experts at predicting disaster for the future. Every head cold means your head's about to fall off. Every ankle injury means there's going to have to be amputated. Anybody like this? Like we're the only ones. Every possible problem is going to be the worst possible result. One of the things that the devil uses to mess up our lives, to ruin us from experiencing just the goodness of God, is getting us to be afraid. And so many times in my own life, and I know this is true about you, the things that we are afraid of do not come to pass. We're like the most talented Hollywood screenwriters at horror movies. All we can do is think of the very worst disaster that could ever befall in any circumstance. We're afraid of that conversation because of how we think it will go. We're afraid of the doctor's appointment because we're afraid of what the doctor will tell us. We're afraid of breaking up with our boyfriend or our girlfriend because of what will happen, or being kind to this person or that person. We always are assuming the worst in almost every circumstance. The sailors give Jonah the old heave-ho over the side, expecting death. And that's not what happens. Here's what happens. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord appointed a great fish. In Hebrew, it's not a whale, it's a big fish. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. It's going to be all right, we said. Everybody say that. It's going to be all right. I want to hear all the sixth graders say it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. One of the reasons it's going to be all right is because often our expectations of what we're afraid of never come to pass anyway. You would have expected when a man gets thrown overboard in the middle of a severe storm for him to drown. And that's not what happens. God has another plan. A great fish comes up, swallows up Jonah, and he's saved for 3 days and three nights. The first lesson is it's going to be all right because often our fears are false. But it gets a little deeper than that for the second reason it's going to be all right. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I'm driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Let's pause there. Jonah says, when my life was fainting away, I remember the Lord. The first reason that we can say with confidence it's going to be all right is because often the things we're afraid of don't come to pass. But this is not a sermon that is overly simplistic, because the message of the Bible and of Jonah is not overly simplistic. Sometimes the bad things do actually happen in life. Jonah, after all, is actually thrown overboard. The waves do overwhelm him. Sometimes you do get the diagnosis you don't want. Sometimes you do lose your job. Sometimes your spouse does leave. Sometimes that just happens. But look at Jonah's prayer here, verse 7, in the middle of the belly of the beast. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. There's something about how God can use the bad things for good in our lives. In 1000 BC, King David was the king over all of Israel in the capital city of Jerusalem. It's what we call the United Kingdom. The whole 12 tribes are all united together. But in 930 BC, the kingdom splits under the rule of David's grandson, Rehoboam. And the northern kingdom now takes the name Israel and its 10 tribes. And the southern kingdom takes the name Judah and its two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. This northern kingdom is headquartered in Samaria. The capital city is Samaria. The southern kingdom, Judah, is its capital city is Jerusalem. In 722 BC, the Assyrian Empire comes and destroys the northern 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel, the capital city of Samaria. Then the kingdom of Assyria comes and destroys all of the northern 10 tribes, which is why we call them the lost tribes of Israel. They cease to exist. They never exist again. But for a couple more centuries, the southern kingdom called Judah persists with one of the descendants of David on the throne in Jerusalem. But over time, its number comes up as well. And in 586 BC, the Babylonian Empire comes and destroys the southern kingdom. The Assyrian Empire destroys the northern kingdom called Israel, the 10 tribes. The Babylonian Empire comes and centuries later destroys the southern kingdom headquartered in Jerusalem, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Now, when you take a man and you throw him overboard, you expect him to drown. And when you take a people and you take them into exile, you expect them to be wiped out and to never exist anymore. And that's what happens in the north. So if you were in the southern kingdom, you might expect that the time that you were going to be in exile in Babylon would be the end of your people. And you'd be wrong. 530 BC, the Persian Empire conquers the Babylonian Empire, and the Persian king sends the Israelites back from exile in Babylon, back into their homeland in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah in the Old Testament about the rebuilding of the temple so many years later. Here's the point. The book of Jonah is about a man named Jonah who was a prophet in the northern kingdom in the 700s BC. But the form that we have it in, the people who first read it, or the exiles during and after the Babylonian exile from the southern kingdom in the 500s BC. So the story of the book of Jonah is about ostensibly one time period, but it's really written for people in another time period. It uses the historical figure of Jonah, an actual prophet in the northern kingdom, to make a deeper spiritual point to the later exiles. In other words, it's exactly like MASH. Anybody ever watch MASH on TV? Raise your hand if you watched MASH when it was on primetime TV. Raise your hand. All right, sixth graders, those are all the old people sitting around there. That show went off in like 1982 or something like that, right? A long time ago, but you guys look good for your age. So MASH, on at least the television version of it, was on television during and after the Vietnam War. But it's not about Vietnam. It's supposed to be about the Korean War, which came before that. So the plot and the place names are about Korea, but the subtext, the message, is about Vietnam. In the same way, Jonah is about the 700s in the northern kingdom, this prophet named Jonah, but it's really written for the people of God who come hundreds of years later from the southern kingdom, the exiles. People have found themselves swallowed up by the Babylonian Empire. And now they're wondering if there's life on the other side of it. This is why I've been making the point that Jonah is a spiritual parable. That's not to say that the events described in it didn't happen. I'm not saying that at all. Perhaps Jonah is a living parable. But Jonah is a parable in that its relevance is for people after the time in which it takes place. In fact, I think it's relevant for you and me today, as you'll see. See, here's what happened in exile. Their king was pulled out of the palace in Jerusalem. His sons were slaughtered in front of him. His eyes were put out. The Babylonians destroyed the temple that Solomon had built, one of the great wonders of the world. They took all the jewelry, all the wealth of Jerusalem into exile. They broke down the city walls, and the people they didn't kill, they took the best and the brightest of them. They plucked them up out of Jerusalem and settled them into Babylon. Daniel, Ezekiel, people like that. You would think your life as the people of God was over. But you know what happens in exile? They become even more of who they were. The word of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, God says to the people in exile, "Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have called you, for I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, "plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Build houses, plant gardens, settle down, marry your sons and your daughters, marry off your grandchildren." The word of the God comes to the people in exile and gives them a way to live even in the midst of difficulty. It's going to be all right. Everybody say it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, first of all, because often our fears are false. You think when you get thrown overboard into the sea that you're going to die, but God appoints a fish, and miraculously, what you feared didn't actually come to pass. I wonder how many of the fears that are choking you this morning, they're keeping you from acting, from carrying out your mission and your ministry on this earth. I wonder how many of those fears are actually false. But sometimes we have to say, sometimes evil things do occur. Sometimes the worst does come to pass. So the second reason it's going to be all right is that even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of exile, you can often experience the grace of God. I've heard stories like this so many times since I've been at Munger. A guy in our church lives in Lakewood, gets a new job, thinks it's exactly the right job for him, and turns out to be exactly the wrong job for him. He talked about waiting in the car before he'd go into work in the mornings and feeling literally sick in his stomach from the anxiety because of how much he hated it. He wasn't doing well. He was getting bad reviews. He ended up getting fired. Imagine what it's like to come home to your wife and your kids and say, "I don't know where our next paycheck is coming from." It's one of the worst things that many of us could imagine happening, to lose our job like that. And yet, he starts reading his Bible for the first time in his life, shows up at church, becomes a regular church person. Over time, in the right time, God provides a right job, a new subsequent job for him, exactly where he needs to be. But that time in between that was seemingly so difficult was also a time that God used to bring him life. It's going to be all right, first of all, because often our fears are false, but secondly, because even in the midst of when our fears are realized, when you find yourself in the belly of the beast, when you find yourself, oh Israel, in exile in Babylon, the Lord your God is actually the Lord there as well, and he's working in your life. You may be just feeling the waters go over your head this morning. You may be in a place of difficulty. You may find yourself in the belly of the beast like Jonah. But even like Jonah, I suspect you will experience the grace of God where you least expected it. It's going to be all right, first of all, because your fears are going to be false many times. It's going to be all right, second of all, because even in the midst of when your fears seem to be coming true, the grace of God is sufficient. And that of which you were so afraid of turns out to be a means of grace of God working in your life. You thought that the diagnosis was going to keep you under, but it turned out the diagnosis has actually brought you life in a new way. It connected you with new people you never thought before. You thought being out of work was going to be like walking through hell, but it turns out that God is often present even in the midst of what seems like hell. You thought that breaking up with your boyfriend, you thought being single, you thought was going to be, but even in the midst of those things, God is working. Jonah finds himself in the belly of the beast, and just like the exiles from Jerusalem, the grace of God is present there as well. Which brings us to the third and final reason that it's going to be all right. You know, Jesus quotes from the book of Jonah, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says this. I think this is so fascinating. Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "You know, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The first reason we say that it's going to be all right, that's the message of the gospel, is because often our fears are nothing more than just images the devil uses to destroy us. They often aren't true. They're not realized. But the second reason it's going to be all right is because even in the midst of when what we didn't want to happen happens, when you get that diagnosis, when you're in the hospital bed, when you're signing the divorce papers, when your house is empty, when you're single, when you find yourself in exile in Babylon or in the belly of the beast, even there is the grace of God at work, as Jonah finds. And the third and most important reason is that ultimately, in light of the face of God, the evil things of this world are only temporary for those who put their trust in Christ. Jesus says, you're not going to get any sign except the sign of Jonah. And just as Jonah was in the belly 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Death even came for Jesus, but it couldn't hold him. That's why I love John chapter 16, verse 33, one of my favorite verses. I quote it here all the time. Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble." He acknowledges it. There's going to be trouble in this world, but have no fear. Why? I have overcome the world. In this world, you may find yourself in the belly of the beast. You may find yourself crucified, dead, and buried, but that only lasts for 3 days. And the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is raised again to new life. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have infertility. You will be single when you want to be married. You will have marriage difficulties. You will have problems with your body. There'll be wars and terrorism and rumors of war. This will happen in this world. I'm telling you, you will have problems. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. I've overcome the world. Just Friday morning, I got an awful, awful phone call. A young guy in our congregation, 38 years old, dropped dead the previous evening out running with his friends, leaving behind a 35-year-old widow and a 7-month-old little baby. I married him, baptized his baby, and I'm going to be burying him on Tuesday morning. It was rough going over to that house, let me tell you. I've been thinking of that poor family all weekend. I'm going to preach at his funeral right here in a couple of days. And you know what message I'm going to give them? It's ultimately the message of Jonah. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Now, that's not a simplistic message. Jonah himself is thrown overboard. The Israelites are swallowed up in exile. Jesus was crucified. This young man in our congregation has died. This is not a simplistic, sentimental, bumper sticker sort of message that doesn't stand up to any scrutiny in the real world. When I say it's going to be all right, I'm saying it in the words of John 16, 33. Not that you're not going to have any trouble, but that the trouble will ultimately be temporary is not stronger than the power of death, and those whose lives are hidden with Christ in God shall be raised with Christ's new life as well. When I say it's going to be all right, it doesn't mean that you're not going to die. It means even when you die, yet shall you live. When I say it's going to be all right, I mean even when our loved ones die and they're going to die sooner or later, when we leave them behind or they're going to leave us behind, even when that happens, it's going to be all right. Why? Because God is a God who raises the dead. And the book of Jonah is about a God who brings life right out of the midst of death. In fact, it's even more startling than that. It's like that death itself is forced to vomit up life after it swallows it. Here's how Jonah chapter 2 ends. After the beautiful poem that Jonah has poured out to God, it says this: "And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land." It deliberately chooses a word that seems totally incongruous in the midst of this beautiful biblical poetry. It's almost funny in how startling it is. The thing that meant for death that swallows up in the midst of the darkness, being buried in the heart of the sea or in the heart of the earth, is forced to like gag up the things of God. Because we know that even death itself can overcome the love of God. This is why the people of God are always ultimately joyful. Because we know that the end is a good end, that it's going to be all right, that even when we face death and difficulty, and we will, even but for a little while, we grieve, we carry heavy burdens, we know that ultimately God wins. And he does it in a surprising and almost funny way, like a fish spewing out this rebellious prophet back onto dry ground. So friends, this morning, I just want to tell you the message of Jonah chapter 2 was a message to the Israelites in exile, and it's a message to you and me today, and it's a message that it's going to be all right. Everybody say that. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word today. Let's stand to our feet. Because it's going to be all right, and because this is a difficult world in which we carry burdens and pains and griefs, I'd like to send you out of here with the words that God gave to Moses and Aaron when he first made his covenant with the Israelites. Numbers chapter 6 is the blessing I was speaking over our confirmation students earlier today. So friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace, and may the peace of Christ be with you wherever you go this week. It's going to be all right. Amen. See you next Sunday. Congratulations, sixth graders.